When we talk about, first of all, I want to lower your expectations. Keep in mind that I am the first speaker you've had today that does not have a doctor's degree, just have a master's degree, but a lot of experience, and that can be good or bad. Many of you in this room are qualified to give this talk. Many of you have had just as much experience as I've had. But just keep in mind, as you're developing an AI program, make sure you pick your team well, and the team needs to be accountable to your results. So as we go through some of these, some of you may not agree with some of it. Some of you may say, well, I want more information. You need to talk to your team, and that team needs to be your technician, your semen supplier, your veterinarian, your nutritionist, and yourselves and the people that are handling these cattle. So there's a lot of factors that play into that. What makes me qualified? First of all, rather than being a flower child, I'm a child of the ampule era. I grew up in a time period where we were still using the ampule. I didn't learn to AI until I came to K-State because my mom always did the work. But when I was in high school, I led a sheltered life, and I came to realize that the best drug going was luteolize, because all of a sudden my heat check-in went from a 21-day experience to a 10-day experience. So I thought that was the best drug in high school. And I've AI'd in a lot of different places, worked with a lot of different people. Keep in mind that in this business, you can be the hero or you can be the zero. And there's a lot of factors that play into that. So the big thing to keep in mind as you go through and develop your AI program is make sure that you've got a team that you trust and they're accountable to what goes on. And I've had a lot of opportunity to work with a lot of people over the years that have helped with my education and my experience. And lastly, I'm a jack of all trades, a master of none. So you'll have an opportunity to hear from a lot of experts over the next couple days that can offer a lot of insight into how we make this successful. I'm going to dial it back down to an equation of reproduction. You can't really get past this when you're trying to create a successful AI program. So keep in mind there's four factors that lie into how many cattle you're going to get bred or get pregnant via AI. It's a lowly heritable trait. Translation, there's no silver bullet. But the big thing is open communication with everybody that's involved, making sure everybody's accountable to what they need to do in this, and dedication by everybody involved. So when we talk about the first factor, it's herd members detected in heat or time bred and inseminated. And inseminator efficiency is the other part of that, the fertility of the herd, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and then the semen fertility levels. But keep in mind, it's kind of like that old show, The Weakest Link. The total cannot be larger than the weakest area of this. So you've got to take care of all four of those factors to make it work. So we talk about the first one, herd members detected in heat. And we've gone to a point in our business where we can do a lot of time insemination, but with that, you've got to make sure that those heifers are ovulating at a time period where you're putting the product in. So effective synchronization is key. You've got to make sure you're using products and protocols that are approved. You've got to make sure that you're providing the right dosage. And the administration of that is important. And when I talk about a team, I talked to my ABS reps yesterday in Kansas, and I said, okay, give me some ideas of what you think are important. And we had a 10-minute discussion on needle length. You know, and you look around at different facilities and different operations, the big part of that is making sure you get the product in. Whether you're using an inch and a half needle or using an inch needle and where you're giving it, the biggest part of that is making sure that product gets in the right place. The other part of it is the tails on the cedars. You know, if these cattle are in confinement and you're doing heifers, make sure you cut half of that tail off, because if they pull the cedar out, you're done. You've got to make sure that product stays in place. So making sure you take care of those little details, and that all comes from the team members working together to make that happen. If you're doing heat detection, make sure that you use tools to help you accomplish that and make sure you apply them effectively so they're going to stay in place. There's nothing worse than walking out there and seeing a bunch of Estrotec patches laying on the ground. And then spend the time heat checking. Those people that think if you use those tools that you can spend 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes at night and do a good job with heat detection, I'm sorry, you're wrong. You've got to spend the time, because there's those ones when things are going fast and furious, there's those heifers that stand back and maybe they never get ridden, but they were in heat. So you've got to look at other signs. And the other part of it, we've got a great tool in the sink planner. Make sure you use that. Those people that sit on the sit and look at a calendar and they're counting back 31 days when they're going to go ahead and put the cedar in, you've got a tool, use it. So use that sink planner, and that helps with the communication as well. Inseminator efficiency. Making sure you're using a qualified technician, making sure they've got some experience, making sure they're knowledgeable in terms of what they're doing, But the other part of that, and this is probably the biggest part that I've seen success with my reps, is having a passion for what they're doing. We don't do this job because we like manure scattered or spouted all over us. We do it because we like to see the results and we like the opportunity to create differences. So making sure your technician has a passion for what they're doing and the ability to complete the job in a timely manner without the fatigue and making sure they can focus on what they're doing. And to go along with that, making sure there's enough help to be able to do it and the ability to AI without getting tired or wore out. And, you know, we get in big projects, we'll rotate around, we'll take turns loading guns just to make sure that we stay fresh and we stay on time. And then the facilities to keep everybody safe. I don't want to worry about somebody letting a cow in behind me when I'm AIing. And the use of the breeding barn has done a lot to help keep us safe when we're in there AIing, but along with that, it helps reduce the stress. So making sure that everybody stays safe. In terms of the fertility of the herd, and this one, as you can see, it's pretty long and involved, and I haven't even covered half of it. But proper cattle handling, when I go to places where they do a really good job handling the cattle, they don't stress the cattle, by the time you get to that AI, those cattle just flow through the system. They don't balk, they don't stand back, they don't fight you. So making sure that you take care of those things, making sure you handle the cattle properly, and using the right facilities. Dogs and hot shots are not my favorite co-workers in this situation, so keep that in mind. But there's a lot of work that's been done looking at how you can improve your cattle handling, and I would encourage you, if you're not doing that or haven't invested in looking at that, that you take that time. Rick talked a little bit about this, and there'll be more talk later on, the post-AI management related to transportation. Dr. Odie's grad students were involved in a large study done many years ago looking at getting those cattle, after you've AI'd them, getting them to where they're going to spend the next 30 to 45 days right away, within those first 5 days. So make sure you don't mess up all that work you've done by hauling those gals 15 days after you've AI'd them. Genetics, there are some breeds and some lines that are more fertile. We're still having a hard time identifying that. But keep in mind that heterosis is probably your best silver bullet in terms of improving this area. But we've got to be able to more accurately identify those, and we've got to relate it back to the environment. And that's the struggle we have in the beef industry over the dairy industry, because we've got a plethora, a variety of different environments that we have to work in, versus the dairy industry is pretty consistent. And you've got to make sure we're utilizing the technology that's out there to help us identify those things. Vaccinations, Dr. Spear, I'm sure, is going to address this in his next talk, but make sure you work with your local veterinarian to utilize the right vaccinations for your area. But the big thing is make sure you do it 30 days in advance when the blessed event's going to occur. Nutrition, you know, there's some basics there, but make sure they're on a gaining plan of nutrition. And just like Goldilocks porridge, make sure they're not too fat or too thin. I've had guys where I've done AI projects where they've been managed differently and they pull them together. One guy's heifers were really fat, and I said, well, why are these so fat and the other one's thin? He goes, well, every time I drove by them, he said, they get to bawling at me. I said, turn up the radio and keep going. You know, don't let your heifer dictate when you're going to breed them. You've got to make sure you're managing that properly. A good mineral program, John Arthington's going to talk about that. And then avoiding excess protein in the diet. And there's a lot of other factors that play into that, so that's why it's important for your nutritionist to be involved in your AI program. And then lastly, talking about semen fertility levels. And this is an area where I think there's a lot more research that needs to be done. When we're buying bulls and bringing them into the stud, the one thing that is pretty common is some of these younger bulls, they may go ahead and collect really well. They've got good semen quality, but they don't survive that post-thaw motility evaluation. So making sure that whatever you're using is doing a good job with that, make sure that's been evaluated well. Make sure it's been put up properly. There are good custom collection facilities around, but when you're looking at semen quality, and Rick showed some data there, the bull studs, I mean, that's our lifeblood. We make sure that we provide a good product to customers, so make sure that what you're utilizing in terms of semen is good quality. And then we can mess it up in terms of the handling procedures, making sure that we thaw it properly, making sure we do it in the right temperature. Just because you've got an electronic thaw does not mean that it's set at the right temperature. So every year before you get started, make sure you plug that thing in, make sure you've got a thermometer in there to make sure it's the right temperature, And then the other part of it is keeping those guns at the right temperature. If it's if you're doing some fall breeding, so you're going to be AIing in the colder months of the year, making sure that you're handling that so it's not going to get a cold shock issue. Sire differences. Now, this is where we can get into a longer discussion, but basically there's no test out there with that's available with repeatability to be able to evaluate sire fertility. The collection of the data, again, is difficult. The dairy, they do a pretty good job of it, but they've got a very consistent management that they're dealing with, plus all those records are gathered. We're still struggling to be able to gather that, especially in the U.S. South America does a pretty good job. We need to catch up on that, though, because that is an important part of that. And there's no means to measure among sires due to those variety of factors, such as synchronization, is the technician, where it's done. But that being said, we all know those sires that work well from a fixed time standpoint. And so as you talk to your semen suppliers, the bad part is usually by the time that we get to that point, they're 6 or 7 years old before we determine that. Communication through the entire process. One of my reps said the other day, he said, when I've talked to people about AI and they say, what are your expectations? They said, well, 80%. Well, we need to dial that back or you need to go somewhere else. Making sure who's going to bring the product when you get there and you're putting seeders in, making sure who's going to bring the seeders, who's going to bring the product, the syringes, the timing of the event. And then as far as management of the cattle before, during, and after, there'll be other people talking about that, but that's critical. When we talk about this team, everybody's got to be accountable and everybody's got to be dedicated to making it happen. There's toolboxes that are available, and I would encourage you to look at those. As far as characteristics, just to review, the equation reproduction, you can't get around it no matter how hard you try. It's lowly heritable, so it's going to be a challenge regardless. There's no silver bullet, but you've got to keep the communication open. Everybody needs to know what their job is, and you've got to be accountable for what you're doing. So with that being said, I welcome you to Kansas. It's been a pleasure to be here in years past when they've done these, and I hope you gain a lot of knowledge with the information that will be shared.